Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
He inspires small business.
We can teach these barbarians a lesson in Western methods and efficiency that will put them to shame.
He tells it like it is.
I realize how difficult it's going to be in this godforsaken place where you can't find what you need. There's the challenge.
Who's Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate?
With all due respect, sir, I believe this is going to be our finest hour.
We're back at 34 after, 800-531-3815, toll-free coast-to-coast, and my website is www.jbsba.com. Don't forget to subscribe to my newsletter, by the way, when you get there. Be sure to join more than 10,000 happy subscribers and the two or three unhappy ones who just asked me to take them off my list. But other than those two or three, we got lots of good, a lot of happy folks. And the article this week, the feature article this week, is Professional Vitamin C. So check it out. If you subscribe this week, you'll be able to get that article. And you can find that at jbsba.com. Also, when you subscribe to the newsletter on the website, it'll link you to an article that I've written in the past. It'll give you an idea about what the content looks like. So we try to help you out there. Rick Pinion is our guest. He's the financial planning expert in our brain trust. He's the president and the founder of Pinion Financial Services, and he is an old friend. And you can say that with guys now. You can say old friend with guys, because he doesn't care about that. And he's a longtime member of our brain trust. And Rick Pinion, welcome back to the show.
Well, good morning, Jim. How are you?
I'm doing great. And folks, before Rick says anything else, he has something he has to say. As you know, most of us work in the caveat emptor part of the marketplace, let the buyer beware. But Rick doesn't work in that part of the marketplace. He works in the part that's governed by the securities laws, especially of 1933 and 1934, which involves not caveat emptor, but, in fact, full disclosure. Rick, you're on.
Very good. Thank you, Jim. First of all, I just want to mention to you and your audience that discussions in this show should not be construed as specific recommendations or investment advice. You should always consult with your investment professional before making important investment decisions. Securities offered through SunAmerica Securities, a registered broker-dealer, member NASD and SIPC, and Pinion Financial Services and AIG SunAmerica are not directly related. Thank you very much.
Rick, you know, now my audience, if never before, they now know why, before you were married, you never had trouble getting dates. Because that kind of language is a great line at a bar, isn't it?
Well, also, it's good to see if you have insomnia.
Yeah, oh, yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, the other thing, I'm also regulated the 1940 Act as well.
Oh, yeah, that's right. They had that one, too, didn't they? I don't remember that one. Do you?
That's the Register Investment Advisors Act.
Exactly. Folks, what we're going to do today is we're going to continue our series that we've been doing now for a long time on financial planning. We're going to delve into the financial planning aspects of the most recent tax bill. And, Rick, why don't you tell us about that?
Well, it's amazing, isn't it? As soon as we learn about one, we have to forget everything and then learn about a new one. So the Tax Act of 2003 has such a nice name. They always come up with beautiful names for these, don't they?
Well, they make them warm and fuzzy. Even if it's a kiss of death, they make it sound like you want it real bad, don't they?
Yeah. This one's called the Jobs and Growth Tax Relief Reconciliation Act of 2003.
See, and I don't know about the reconciliation thing, but I do believe in the jobs and growth thing.
Yeah, there are a lot of goodies in the Act, and it's extremely complicated. So it's important just to kind of focus on two or three items at a time.
Right.
Because otherwise it can be confounding and confusing and boring.
Well, so what's the first thing? You want to talk about, I know one of the things you want to talk about was gifting to our children.
Yeah, you know, gifting is such a huge part of the law. And we always think of gifting like an allowance for our children or, you know, putting our children to work in our businesses. But there's other opportunities to gift as well. For example, now it's very important to make gifts to children who are over the age of 13 and in the 15% tax bracket. Because in the year 2008, Jim, both capital gains and dividend tax rates go to zero for those in the lowest tax bracket.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, this creates a tremendous opportunity to shift wealth out of the estate, especially for stocks. And just to give an example, let's suppose that you give a child stock that has, you know, appreciated stock, that has, let's say, $100,000 in dividends.
Mm-hmm.
Well, in 2008, they're not going to pay any taxes on those dividends.
So especially if you think that stock is going to be a stock that would be sold and reinvested, or if you think that stock is going to be one that's going to have some yield on it in a few years, that would be a good one to give them.
It sure would be.
Would it matter if you gave them the stock directly, you bought it and gave it to them, or if you gave them the money and let them buy the stock themselves? Does it matter?
Well, yeah, I think it's better to give them the stock itself, the actual.
So buy the stock yourself if you don't already have it.
Right.
And give it to them.
Right.
Okay. All right. Hey, Rick, hold on to that thought. We're going to come back, folks. I've got some questions about this gifting thing for children for Rick. And then when we get through with that, we're going to talk about 401k plans. Some of you now have 201k plans, and we'll talk about that again in just a little bit. 20 till. Stay with us. We'll be right back with our good friend Rick Pinion of Pinion Financial Services near our nation's capital in Bethesda, Maryland. We're back at 17 till. I'm Jim Lassingame, the Small Business Advocate. Let me tell you about our guest show coming up in the hour straight ahead, Taryn Rose. That's Karen with a T. Taryn Rose is going to be joining us. She is an interesting lady, and I want you to want her to tell us about her career and her life. And I think you'll find it very interesting. She's going to be recognized a week from Thursday by the Women's Business Division of the SBA, where I will be myself, and so I wanted to introduce you to her. And then after that, Bill Brandt is going to join us, and we're going to talk about the economy and what Bill thinks is going on out there, and what he'll have some wisdom for us to help us plan our, maybe do a little 2004 planning. That's coming up in the next hour. Rick Pinion is our guest. He's with Pinion Financial Services. Rick, you were talking about some ways to help our taxes. Now, how does it help our taxes if we give our children money?
Well, let's see.
Or stocks.
Yeah, in fact, you raised a good question before the break, and that is, should you give them money or should you give them the stock? The problem is that if you give them the money itself, and you give over $11,000, per child, or
right,
$22,000 if your wife joins in, then you've got to go through the gift tax situation.
Mm-hmm.
But if you give them highly appreciated stock that's paying dividends, and they're in the lowest tax bracket, then those dividends are going to be tax-free in 2008.
In 2008, but not now.
No, they're 15% now.
15% now. But can you give them more than $11,000 per parent in stock, or is this the same thing as the cash?
No, stock's a little bit different story.
Yeah. Okay. So maybe you can give them more than that.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Well, but I guess my question is, what's the advantage of giving them the money right now? Why don't I just wait till 2008 to give them the money?
Well, hopefully the stock will go up in value.
Okay. All right. But what you're saying is you're presuming that the child is in a lower bracket than I'm in.
Right.
So we give them the money, and whatever the dividends or whatever is paid, they're taxed at the lower dividend. And we're also assuming, I think, Rick, that one day we're going to be spending a whole lot of money on their education. And this could be used for their education?
Well, that's true. 2008 is a little ways out, so depending on the age of the child, that could be a pretty good strategy.
Right. So if this is a 10-year-old, 12-year-old child, maybe it would be... we'd be getting to the point where that money would be able to come out in a capital gains taxes, hopefully by 2008 still being zero, or being zero at that time.
Right, exactly.
Okay. All right, what's the next one?
Let's see, should we talk a little bit about, I've got a couple other items. Should we focus on 401k plans?
Yeah, let's talk about 401ks.
Yeah, we need to
Or as they're now called sometimes, 201ks.
Okay. Or sometimes unicase.
Yeah, exactly.
Or single person case. One of the things we have to watch out, Jim, as far as the 401k, is watch out for the unmatched 401k contributions, whereby, sometimes the employers match contributions and sometimes they don't.
Right.
And remember that withdrawals from a tax-deferred account will be taxed at the owner's income tax rate rather than the long-term capital gains rates of 15%.
Mm-hmm.
So it may be better to contribute to a Roth IRA if you meet the income limits, because withdrawals are going to be tax-free as long as you hold that IRA for 5 years or you turn 59 and a half.
Well, that's because the Roth IRA is paid. You pay it into the Roth IRA with after-tax dollars, and the 401k is paid in with pre-tax dollars, right?
Right.
Yeah.
And in terms of who contribute to a Roth IRA, just to remind our listeners that there's what they call a phase-out range for contributions to the Roth. So if you're married filing jointly, and your adjusted gross income is between it starts at $150,000. And phases out at 160. So once you have adjusted gross income of over 160, you can't make contributions to the Roth.
Mm-hmm.
And if you're single, it's a little bit lower. It starts at 95,000 and completely phases out at 110,000.
Mm-hmm. Remind us of what's the hitch in the unmatched 401k?
Well, the hitch is this: if you have a 401k where the employer is not contributing.
Right.
And you're trying to decide, should you put that money into the 401k pre-tax or should you put it into the Roth? The point is that when later on you take the money out of the Roth, the money comes out tax-free.
Because you pay tax, the principal and the yield comes out tax-free because you pay tax on the principal when you put it in.
Right, but it builds tax deferred.
Right.
So it's a little bit similar to a tax deferred vehicle.
Mm-hmm.
And so as a result of that, if you can get something, you know, tax-deferred that comes out tax-free, that's a pretty good deal.
Mm-hmm.
And so a lot of people are questioning about, you know, where should they put their money and should they... Now, of course, if it's matched, you want to take advantage of that match as much as you can.
Right.
Now, under the new tax law, you know, if you have, let's say, a traditional IRA and you're over 70 and a half, then you're forced to take the money out once you reach April 1st after the year you turn 70.
You have to take it out. It's required, isn't it?
Yeah, but not with a Roth.
Uh-huh.
See, with a Roth, you can leave it in there.
Right. So what age limit do you recommend people stop putting money into a Roth? Isn't it really typically seen for the or recommended for the younger people?
For the Roth?
Uh-huh.
Well, the nice thing about the Roth, Jim, is that as long as you have earned income, and your adjusted gross income is below those limits I just discussed,
right,
you can continue putting money into the Roth. But you can't put money into a traditional IRA after 70 and a half.
Right.
So, again, there's...
So you really don't recommend any limit on Roth. You really just look at the income limits, don't you?
Well, see, another thing, too, in my financial planning field, Jim, I see so many people that are trying to retire that just don't have enough assets.
Right.
And the worst thing in the world is 20 years from now, a person may be in good health, and the person's got to go back to work.
Yeah, that happens all the time. It's actually happening now to some people that I know.
It's sad.
See, if they're like me, they just work all the time. Meaning, if they just kept working like me and you, Rick, they wouldn't have to worry about that, would they?
They shop till they drop.
Stand by. We get to work all we want. 10 till. Stay with us. We're back at 7 till. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate. Rick Pinion is our guest, and his company is Pinion Financial Services. Rick, why don't you give us your website again, please?
Yes, it's www.pinionfinancial.com. Pinion Financial being one word.
Yeah, Pinion, P-I-N-I-O-N,
just like
Financial.
Like Pinion without the O.
Right. .com. And it is, and also, now you've got a lot of stuff there that they can check out, like some... You've got some calculators and different things that they can look at for free, can't they, to check their Social Security calculations and other things there, don't you?
Yeah, they can log on, and they can do a little calculation for retirement, for educational planning. I give them market updates. You know, we're keyed into certain, you know, informational services so they can check the stock market.
What if they're in Boise, Idaho, and they'd like to talk to you about doing business with them? Can you do that?
Yeah, I can give you my 800 number.
Okay, go ahead.
It's 1-800-296-4427. And I have a special invitation for those folks that are listening today.
Okay.
If you send me a copy of your tax return, I'll be happy to review it to see if there's any way that I can save you money on taxes.
All right.
It's
and
free of charge.
And folks, Rick has already been vetted. He's the real deal, so I'm not don't concern yourself. I mean, I can understand if you don't want to send your tax return around to everybody, but Rick's a good guy. He's legitimate, absolutely bona fide. Rick, also, if they wanted to, they can email you from the website, too, can't they? And say, give me a call or whatever.
Yeah, there's an email on the website, and also our email address is pinion@pinionfinancial.com.
Okay. Rick, let's get into some of the stuff that we've talked about this in the past about the ability to direct expense a lot of capital items up to $100,000 in the new tax bill. We've talked about this already, but let's do it again because we haven't done it in a month or so.
This is huge, Jim. This is one of the best things for small business owners. Under the IRS code, section 179, owners can now write off $100,000. Versus $25,000 under the previous law. Now, if you have a regular sized business car, it won't work.
Mm-hmm.
But if you go out and buy an SUV,
a gas guzzler,
or a truck that weighs over 6,000 pounds, this will count for this write off. So, for example, let's suppose you go out and buy your.
I think a Rolls Royce qualifies too, doesn't it?
Well, it has to be 6,000 pounds.
Well, that's what I'm saying. Those things are heavy.
They're like a tank. They make it bulletproof. But, for example, suppose you buy an SUV for $40,000 and use 90% of it for business. You can get a deduction available up to $36,000.
Hmm.
That's up from the previous, deduction of $25,000.
Right.
And with a new cap of $100,000 for, first-year expenses, you can take another $64,000 off for other business expenses. So it's really a wonderful opportunity.
Well, exactly. Now, of course, for this to benefit you, you've got to be profitable.
Yes.
Because the deductions are the deductions, and it's possible that the deductions could get you to a point. I mean, you could be profitable and then buy the capital item, take the deduction, and not be profitable, but at least you have the goods, you have the capital improvement into your company, and you didn't pay taxes, whereas if you hadn't bought it, you could have paid taxes, so it can actually, and especially if you finance whatever it is that you're buying, you can actually become a positive cash flow event, couldn't it?
Sure right. Can.
So, I don't know if it's going to come to pass, but I heard, folks, it's not the law yet, but I heard that they may pass something that lowers that weight limit down below 6,000 pounds. I heard something about that, but it hasn't happened yet, so I want to pay attention to that. But you're right. This is really huge. Hopefully, it'll incent. And by the way, it went from $25,000 to $100,000, and there's some rules inside of that that you have to comply with. And Rick, I know that you're like me. You encourage people, please check with your CPA about which is the best how best to handle these transactions.
Exactly. You have to remember, Jim, I'm a generalist. I'm not a tax expert.
Right.
So you need to consult with a CPA or an enrolled agent.
Right.
For further clarification.
Absolutely. And and folks, please help. Please get some help with all your financial planning, with all of your tax planning. Please get some help with this. Things are too complicated these days. You need people like Rick or somebody in your community or whatever. You need people like that to help you out. They earn their money because it's all they do, and they keep you out of trouble, if nothing else. Right, Rick?
That's for sure.
Yeah. Rick Pinion, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you, Rick. Good job today.
Good. We'll talk to you next time.
We'll see you next time. And I'll see you next week. We're going to get together while I'm in Washington.
Welcome to the nation's capital.
Looking forward to it. See you, Rick.
Okay.
Got to go for this hour. Before I do, I want to thank my heroes, small business owners, and every member of our military, sending a post around the world on our behalf. God bless you. God be with you. We are very proud of you. This is Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate. And this program is for you. I'll be right back.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.